tonight Henry and I are kind of getting into the Maker kit, getting a look at it. Henry, the first kind of project that I started working on, I'll just explain a little bit of backstory.
Okay, here
the,
we go.
The ladies from New Every Day use lapel microphones.
All right.
They look like this. Okay, so it clips on their shirt.
Yeah.
And then it goes into a power pack that this is like basically phantom power for the microphone because they require power.
Okay.
But the camera only has two inputs, left and right. So they're stuck with two mics. So recently they've been doing some interviews, and it gets really, really tough when they've got three people on the set. They can't mic them. Mm. They can't mic everybody. So I came up with this little super, super simple. Now, I'm a beginner maker, so I'm just learning how to do all this kind of stuff, but I came up with this. Plugs into the plugs into the camera.
Sneaky.
There it
sneaky.
Is. So it's just an eighth inch, 3.5 millimeter stereo plug.
Yeah.
And it goes to this breakaway box
that
has four quarter inch inputs. And I've just used Ethernet cable to make it happen.
So it's a full connection. There you go.
So you plug that into the camera, and then you've got two microphones on each side. So you just find, sneaky. You know, you figure out who's got approximately the same volume of speech. And there you go. So that's kind of one of my first builds. I've done a couple other ones.
We're so proud of you, Robbie.
I go to Seyal. I told you about this place.
Yeah, you have, and
there's
it's amazing
a
local place.
On the south end of Barrie. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been, if you're in the Barrie area, you've got to check them out. It's called Seyal. That's where you can get kit like this. Now, you can also get them on Amazon and stuff, and so go through our affiliate links, and you'll find what you need. I am just old school, and I love going up and down the aisles and going, oh, that would make a good kit. Oh, that would be a cool piece.
Well, that's where your imagination gets in, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like...
Ugh. So then I'm looking, you know, even choosing the type of end that I want for the plug so that it's a 90-degree angle so that it points to the floor when it plugs into the camera.
Exactly.
Like those kind of things instead of plugging in that way.
Wow.
So, you know, I love that. So being able to walk into a store, I don't know if you've got any stores like that. It's like the old-style Radio Shack when you used to be able just to browse
tech everywhere. Just... bits and bobs of parts and switches.
About this little thing.
Totally nerding out right now. That's
I
so
know.
Neat.
It's so simple and
how long
so
did
fun.
It take you to do that, Robbie?
About an hour.
An hour, right?
Well, once I had all the stuff.
Yeah,
well,
yeah. I
went
to
the
store. You go shopping.
I obviously spent about 7 hours in the store and way overspent. And my wife said, she starts looking at the itemized receipt and go, what's this?
It's like 100 items.
How much exactly did you spend on that? But that's kind of how it goes. But that's what it is. So one of the ways, though, that you can save a lot of money, Henry, is through a kit like what you were looking at last week.
Okay.
And the purpose behind picking up a kit is really so that because I would go to Seyal, one of these electronic stores, and I would buy all the pieces that I need for a particular project.
Yeah, you just bring them all in.
Bring them all in, and then I would build the project, and then I would go back, and I would buy all the parts for the next project. And there's something to be said about just having a bunch of stuff on hand, kind of in bulk, because you get into stuff like resistors that are super, super cheap by themselves. Mm-hmm. You don't want to go in and buy five of them. You might as well get 500.
That's buy them in bulk, right?
Yeah. This kit, I'll get you to move your coffee so that we can just kind of take
Let's
a boot
make some
here.
Space. There
this
you go.
Kit, we're just going to get into it a little bit heavier this week to show you. So this is available at cat5.tv/maker. You saw it last week, so we're not going to really go through the unboxing process, but you see we've got resistors. So
many, many resistors.
Many, many resistors. So with this series, our Maker series here on Category 5 TV, one of the things that we want to do is we want to start from the basics and work our way to some more sophisticated things. We're going to get into television repair.
Oh, that's exciting.
You can pick up a flat screen TV on the side of the road because somebody it doesn't work anymore.
We're going to learn here. We're going to learn here.
We're going to fix it. We're going to get a free TV. How do you like that? We might have to buy a capacitor for $6.
Hey.
Aww,
saves you buying a new TV for like $1,000. Wow.
There's a ton of stuff that you really need to get started. Mm-hmm. First of all, safety goggles. You might as well steampunk them out.
You
got your safety goggles?
I feel like you're safer than I am because I'm just here. Yeah.
Safer, nerdier, all of the above.
Hey, it's not a bad thing.
You're going to need things like resistors. So what do resistors do, Henry?
They resist the urge.
They resist. Power.
And I really like how they added different levels of resistors.
Sure.
Because in basic saying, it's like a tap, right? So I think I remember back in high school when my professor was talking about electricity and resistors. Mm-hmm. It's like you have a full pipe full of water, but you can't handle the entire full pipe. So what do? You add like a little resistor, in this case, for electronics resistor. For water, you would have like a little funnel or something.
So it kind of reduces the voltage of whatever's passing through the wire?
That's what as far as I believe, that's how I was raised.
We're going to... Your parents have done well at.
Okay.
I was not raised in a home where this kind of thing was readily available or even promoted. I was the kid who would take apart the VCR, get in a boatload of trouble for doing it.
What's a VCR? And then I'm just kidding.
It was better.
Yeah.
And then put it all back together again, and it would work better than it did before I took it apart, because I would clean the heads and the pinch rollers. But so that was me. So this kind of stuff, a lot of it is new to me, but I used to build like patch panels and things, audio patch panels. And recently I've been really getting into learning to become a maker, because I really want to know how to do this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a homeowner now, and it really drives me mad that I don't know some of the basics of home repair. So then I started learning that kind of stuff. Now that I can do renovations and fix things and do this or that, now I'm like, okay, well, now I really want to be doing this stuff. The electronic stuff is really my passion and what I want to learn. So that's why we're going to be getting into this more. So things that you absolutely need, of course, resistors. We're going to learn all about resistance tonight with a very simple demonstration. We've got a couple of relays as well. I love relays. You can build so many fun things with those. And we're going to learn about those later on in the series. We've got some capacitors as well.
Excellent.
These can be used for repairs. If you ever burn out a capacitor on a motherboard, you can actually fix your motherboard by having those on hand. We've got fuses. We've got multiple different types of capacitors. We've got some ceramic capacitors as well. We've got some LEDs, some alligator clips, more LEDs. Like, it just goes on and on.
Never ends.
These guys, which, Henry, these are called potentiometer.
Nice.
Hooked on phonics worked for me.
Do you have the potential?
Potentiometer. I would have just called it volume knob.
The volume just call it knob. Just call it twisty knob.
Jeff Weston and the crew here at Category 5, we've been talking about it. We're going to start building a mini arcade game system for...
You guys are going to have so much fun.
...for the RetroPie. We're going to actually build that. So we're going to need some of these kinds of things and the knowledge that we're going to learn. The other stuff that you're going to absolutely need, and this is to get started as a maker, so you want to learn how to do electronics.
Oh, yeah.
The kit just makes it so easy because it's all there.
It's all in one place.
You don't have to... And it's all in one place at Sayal, but you don't have to go up and down the aisles to get what you need to get started. So... Yep. So I am excited about this. So we've got batteries and loads of them. We've got a 9-volt battery. We're going to learn resistance with that today. So let's set that aside. We've got some 22-gauge wire in three different colors. So this is literally just wire that we can use for soldering stuff together.
All right.
We've got some battery compartments for... So we've got 6 volts, 1.5 volts, and 3 volts. We've got a breadboard, which you showed last week. This is that's pretty decent.
Hello, breadboard.
Looks sweet. And this is for testing, right? So this is so that we can test our circuit, build our circuit, and make sure it works before we start soldering everything together and realize, did something wrong, right? But I see a ton of exciting stuff in here. It's a great kit. And even just the box itself is really nice.
It's just nice to be organized. It's just nice to have that, because whenever I come home from a tech store, I always have everything in bags and everything gets all over the place. But even if you do start to run out of supplies, it comes with a nice box. So you can eat.
Yes.
I love things that keep you organized like this.
Is there anything here that we wouldn't use? I really don't think so, eh? Like, there's so much.
No, I would use everything. Like, even, like, everything. Being into, like, flight sim and stuff. Like, you could use, like, a lot of these, like, switches.
Yeah. Those are some high-grade switches.
Landing gear up, landing gear down.
Is that where you're gonna build an airplane?
I actually already have one. Just kidding, though. No, that's exciting, though.
All right. So we're going to learn a little bit about resistance tonight. Beyond our kit, what we need is some tools. So I have...
All right.
Some of my toolkit here with me. I've got what's called helping hands. This is really, really helpful when you are soldering. It's got a little light that illuminates things. It's got a magnifier so that you can see a lot better as you're working on stuff. So you can clip with these helping hands alligator clips and hold your project as you are soldering.
It's awesome.
So then I've picked up a wireless soldering iron. After seeing Jeff with a wireless one, I thought, well, I'll go out and get a wireless one because it's so convenient.
Just had to.
Now, I'll tell you the truth.
Yeah.
The wireless one, I kind of would like to go with a higher grade, like plugged in, because the batteries don't last a huge amount of time, and when they die, it just starts soldering poorly. It doesn't get up to
There's heat. No indication, it just starts to happen.
Not
right?
really. And you can change the batteries or you can buy rechargeables, and that's fine. But realistically, as I get more and more serious about this, this becomes a handy tool to have, but it's not, it shouldn't be my only solder.
Well, that's the thing, is that when you're at your desk, right, like your little workstation.
Oh, you might as well have a hard
wire. Yeah, you're going to have hardwired anyways, right? So depending on your usage.
Well, I should.
Right?
I don't.
This
is
should.
The one this is the one I bought, honey. So I picked up just a piece of, like, what do you call this? Like scouring pad.
It's just happiness.
Just from the dollar store.
Yep.
And I use this when the solder is hot, I can just rub that soldering iron on the on that, and it just cleans it up really, really nice.
There you go.
And then we've got some solder here.
Excellent.
I've got a pair of clippers.
Just
and these clippers actually have a 22 gauge stripper.
That's so going to make things a lot easier.
Helps a lot, yeah. Some good
needles.
What do you call these?
Or tweezers.
Tweezers. These are great for holding your project when you're holding things like capacitors. And they get hot as you're soldering. I've got a nice little screwdriver that Kingston provides, and these are great. It's good to just have a good little screwdriver.
That's nice.
So that's kind of my kit. Then the main thing that you're going to absolutely need, Henry, regardless of what you're doing, is a multimeter. You're going to absolutely need to be able to tell things like, have you got continuity? Which is the circuit is complete and there is a flow of electricity. You're going to need to be able to tell how many volts are running through something so you don't blow something up.
Yeah.
And we probably will blow things up.
Oh, that's going to be the best.
Yeah. Boom.
Just kidding. No.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of blowing things up, we got an email from our viewer who we all know as Orange Man. Should we take a quick look at this?
All right. Let's take a look.
Orange Man writes, "Dear Robbie," and I presume Henry as well.
My name's there. It's just invisible writing.
It's just invisible.
Sasha wrote it. So,
Orange Man actually provided a couple of pictures for us. So I'm going to bring.
Oh, that's good.
I'm going to bring these up at the same time.
All right.
Orange Man says, "In December, I had an old Raspberry Pi in my workshop in an old cardboard box, not being used.
Okay.
I wanted to make the output run on my TV display as a way of displaying videos by connecting an HDMI or VGA cable to the TV. My wife is blind, and she doesn't like a lot of wires around." Makes sense.
Yep.
"So I designed it to put inside of a computer chassis along with a power supply. I found a case on Amazon, which was low profile, it has a switching power supply, which provides both 5-volt and 12-volt power." That's interesting that he mentions that.
Yeah.
We were talking about building this arcade system for the RetroPie, and I said we should use a standard computer power supply so that we have 5-volt and 12-volt rails. 12-volt for the monitor, 5-volt for the Pi, and any other kind of peripherals. So that's cool. You know where we are because you've got your finger on it.
Yeah, of course. Just
carry on.
Being a navigator here. It arrived on Christmas Eve. Happy belated Christmas.
Nice.
yes, we had post on Christmas Eve. That's awesome. So I tested it to see if the power supply worked and wanted to find out which wire was the plus 5 volts and which were the 12 volts.
That's
right?
Where your multimeter is going to come
in. So, ta-da! Thank you, multimeter. Yeah. I tried it twice and it worked okay. Good. But when I tried it for a third time to check out a few other things on the power supply, it just stopped working and was completely dead.
Orange
That's
Man,
not good.
Yeah, Orange Man goes on to say, "Some time back, I obtained some 286 computer power supplies, which also have 5 volt and 12 volt.
Yeah.
This was the same physical size as the one that that was in there originally, and it worked every time without going
bang.
Bang. Nice. I got a picture here of the outer chassis. That's kind of the completed box with the wires sticking out of the back. And Orange Man sends us a little bit of a view of what this bad boy looks like on the inside. Henry, if you can carry on with the email there.
Excellente, because, you know, the reading skills. Sometime back, you already said that, I wanted to use the USB output of the Pi to power a USB hub to give me more USB outputs. Yeah,
okay, yeah.
That's always useful. The output from the audio socket would be connected to a small jack and then connected via a small audio output. And I thought I would do the same as the audio by plugging a very short HDMI lead into the HDMI socket onto the Pi.
Sweet.
So, yeah. So, the socket end of my converter's VGA had a hole cut in the box, so I plugged the VGA to a short cable, but there was some issues with the converter. Okay. Ah. Let's see what that was. It was a very intermittent and would only work sometimes. Okay, that's interesting.
That's no good.
Yeah, so I abandoned this idea and was stuck with an HDMI socket. I cut a hole in the chassis and glued a jack in place so I could easily connect an external HDMI cable. Okay?
Sweet.
But had some trouble. So on Amazon.
Go through our web link.
Sponsor. I cut a hole in the chassis, found an HDMI cable with a female plug on each end. Okay, so it just and fixed one end to the HDMI socket on the Raspberry Pi, and the other end goes through a hole in the chassis, so the one that I'm guessing he cut, with a grommet, so I can plug it into the TV. Then the kit took about 20 minutes to build. So
the HDMI there in the center of your screen. Now, if you follow that cable coming out of the HDMI, he's got a grommet and a cable going out of the computer. And then we've got all kinds of great wiring going on here, Orange Man. Well done. And I see a USB port on the front there.
Okay, we're almost done. He has brief little paragraph here. So he's been into electronics since he was 10 years old, and now he's 60. So that's a lot of experience.
Way to go, man. Like, wow, you got 50 years on me.
Yeah, so making the kit was very easy and enjoyable. The network socket from the Raspberry Pi connects to a short external jack, and the keyboard and mouse are both wireless, which saves on the wires, right? Because you wanted to keep...
Absolutely.
Yeah, space on the wires. It now sits on a shelf in our sitting room, and I can operate the keyboard and mouse without any visible wires. From Orangeman.
Fantastic. Oh, dude, that is awesome.
I love hearing these stories. Thanks for sharing, because it really does... It's always great to hear... when people use these with such unique projects.
It's inspiring.
It is.
And at the same time, I'm looking at this, Orange Man, and I'm thinking, this is a build that you would never... Like, I wouldn't have expected to see this from a Raspberry Pi. So you see the motherboard is basically this credit card sized motherboard in the middle there with a bunch of wires going to it. So you've been able to effectively build a computer, a multimedia center, with this little tiny computer stuck in the middle.
Yeah, just put it in the center there, and it's so great.
Hold it in with double-sided carpet tape. There you go.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I love it, and thank you so much for sharing. And these are some of the things that, you know, I want to learn, like, how does all that come together? Now, I know how to plug cables in and stuff like that, but to solder from one thing to the next, and we've looked at the GPIO headers of the Raspberry Pi a little bit, and, you know, I know that, you know, some of them are like, 5-volt, power, so I've connected a fan to it to keep it cool and things like that. So you can do all kinds of little things, but let's expand upon that.
Yeah, let's dive a little bit deeper. Let's see what else we can do with that.